Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to talk this morning on the subject of perseverance and the fact that the Bible tells us that we as Christians must persevere. Last Sunday morning we talked about heaven and why we should want to go to heaven. And indeed we do want to go to heaven. And we want others to go to heaven. Well, as I read through the New Testament, I find this theme of perseverance continuing to appear in different passages that have to do with you and I as Christians making it to heaven. And so this is a subject that we need to give our attention to. If we're interested in going to heaven, we're interested in serving God faithfully, we're interested to seeing the end of our faith and the hope of our reward, we need to know what perseverance is, and we need to be diligent about adding it to our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we have a list that is given to us that we sometimes refer to as the Christian graces. It has to do with our growth and our development as Christians. Peter says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Among those things that we are to add to our faith, to be diligent about adding to our faith, in our effort to serve God more faithfully, to become partakers of the divine nature, verse 4, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, chapter 3 and verse 18. Among the things mentioned here is perseverance. Now the first thing we need to do is to define what perseverance is. There's no way we can add it to ourselves if we don't know what it is that we've got to add. What is perseverance? Perseverance is translated from the Greek word hupomone. Hupomone is actually a compound word. The first part of the word means under. Anytime you're looking at in the Greek and you see a word begin with the letters H-U-P-O, you know you're looking at something that has to do with that which is under. The second part of this word means to abide. And so, literally, the word perseverance, the word hupomone, means to abide under. It is translated, this word hupomone is translated as patience in the King James Version. And while the two are somewhat related to each other, patience and perseverance, they are different in one respect. Patience has to do with waiting. With waiting something out. And patience is important. We must wait on the Lord. We must be patient. But perseverance has to do with keeping on, keeping on. It has to do with abiding under a weight. The word abide means to live. And it is a frame of mind in which we resolve that we're going to live with this and we're going to continue doing what we have to do even under this weight. Thayer, in his lexicon of Greek words, says of hupomone that it is steadfastness, constancy, endurance. I wonder, those first three words, do they describe you as a Christian? Would someone say, "Well, now, brother or sister so-and-so, they're steadfast in their faith. They are constant. They're always there. They're always faithful. They're always serving the Lord. They're enduring. They're going through a lot in their lives right now, but they're enduring it. They're weathering the storm. They're staying on track. They're not giving up." That's the idea of perseverance. We keep on keeping on even when things get hard. To continue on with the definition, it is the character of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. One who has perseverance is one who has the mindset, I'm going to heaven, and I don't care what mountain I got to climb over to get there. And I don't care what you do to me along the way, I'm getting there. Nothing can stop me. Do you see why Peter would have us to add this to our faith? Why it's so important? Perseverance is the ability to bear under hardships, to keep from giving up. It is a resolute determination to steadfastly move on toward the goal, no matter what the obstacles. This is what the Holy Spirit would have us to add to our faith. Now, why do we need it? Why do we need perseverance? Well, looking at the context here in which this word is found in this list, we need perseverance in order to practice self-control. The Holy Spirit tells us that to our self-control, we are to add perseverance. What is self-control? Self-control is the willingness, the desire, the ability to hold ourselves in check. The ability to tell ourselves no. Now, that's easy to do sometimes. If you're wanting to practice self-control about eating spinach, it might be easy to tell yourself, no, don't eat spinach. But it becomes difficult when we're tempted to do something that deep down inside these human bodies we'd like to do. We need the ability to tell ourselves no and to stick with it. It's easy for ourselves to come into an assembly like this and decide we're not going to sin. We know that it's wrong to sin and we're not going to do that. And it's easy to decide that here. But when we go out those doors, we go out into a world that tempts us to sin, that always puts that temptation before us, and then it can become hard. And so we need that perseverance, that steadfastness of faith, that constancy to remind ourselves, hey, I said I wasn't going to do this, and I'm not going to. Now, sometimes it's hard to stick with that when we look around about us and we see so many other people who haven't made that decision and we see them enjoying their sin. Sometimes we even look to our own brethren and see them indulging in sin and nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to them, nothing's said to them, and they enjoy that sin and appear to get away with it. And it's hard to practice self-control in a world that is so full of sin. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 17 and 18 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." If you persevere, if you stick with it, if you continue to practice self-control, your hope will not be cut off. But if you give up because you've looked around you and you see so many others enjoying the sin, you decide, hey, what's the point? But then you've taken your eye off of the goal. Why do we need perseverance? Well, number one, because it's attached to self-control. And we've got to practice self-control. Secondly, we have to have perseverance because the way that we have been called to follow is difficult. You know, as well as I do, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus urges us to follow the way that is narrow and difficult. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." You know why? Because it's easy. It's easy to go to hell, isn't it? It's easy to travel that path. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it, and I'd say there are few who stay on it. We need perseverance because the way that the Lord has called upon us to travel is hard. It is not easy. Now, that doesn't mean that it is a burden, and that doesn't mean that there are not joys that come along with following Jesus Christ, because they certainly are. But Jesus pulls no punches, and Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He says that it is difficult. It is narrow, and it is hard. And what is the temptation? When we find out that something is difficult, that something is hard, the temptation is to just forget it. And to be like water, and to take the path of least resistance. This passage tells us that path leads to destruction. We don't want to travel that path. Why do we need perseverance? Because the way that leads to life is difficult. And we've got to stay on that way. Third, we need perseverance because we're not there yet. We don't have it yet. Yes, I'm a child of God. And yes, I am saved. But no, I do not have my home in heaven yet. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, the Hebrew writer says, "For you have need of endurance." Now that word there that is translated endurance is the word hupomone. You have need of that abiding under quality. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, the promise of heaven comes after we have done the will of God. Heaven is a promise that is made to those who live faithfully. It is not a guarantee to one who has chosen at one time in their life to obey the gospel, but then has become unfaithful. It is a promise to the faithful. In Acts chapter 14, as Paul and Barnabas are going on their first journey, and they have converted souls and they've established churches in different cities, they decide to go back through and visit those cities as they are leaving the area. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith." There's your perseverance. You continue in the faith. You keep on keeping on. Why? Because we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Because you're not there yet. And you've got to go through a mess in order to get there. They didn't sugarcoat it. They didn't pull any punches, did they? They told those disciples, "The way is hard." That's what the Lord said. The way is hard. And we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven. We're not there yet. And we're not going to make it if we give up. Brethren, we've got to keep on keeping on. We need perseverance because persecutions come along the way. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Our very decision to follow Jesus, to come out of this world and to follow Jesus, our very decision to live godly in this world will bring trouble to us. We don't have to go out and look for it. The very fact that we've chosen to follow Jesus will make us stand out in such a way the world will find us and will let us know what they think about our decision. And it might be a hardship that we have to face on the job now that we're no longer doing things we used to do. It might be a hardship that we have to face from our neighbors somewhere in the community. For some of us, it may be hardships that we have to face in our very homes, in our very marriages, because of the decisions that we have made. We don't have to go looking for trouble. The promise is that it will come to us if we desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. Why do we need perseverance? To practice the self-control that is needed. Because the way is difficult and we're not there yet. And we've got to go through persecutions to get there. Well, there's plenty of reasons that you and I need this quality added to our faith. How does perseverance work? How does it work in our lives? Where can we see perseverance at work? Well, perseverance works two ways in our lives. First, it works in a passive way with a quality that we would call endurance. Endurance is the ability to put up with. It is the ability to bear with things and to bear under trials and persecutions. In Romans chapter 12 and at verse 12, Paul says that we are to be rejoicing in hope. And I'd pause right there and I'd say, I don't want to paint an entirely bleak picture of what being a Christian is about. And I don't want anyone leaving this morning saying, that preacher, boy, he sure paints a terrible picture. His life must be miserable. I find joy in serving Christ. I do as well. And we are to rejoice in hope. But we are to be patient, or we are to persevere in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Tribulation is going to come. This perseverance is going to allow us to endure that and to see it through to the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 3, Timothy was told, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." All of us as Christians are soldiers in the army of the Lord, and fighting a battle is not easy. And sometimes the temptation is to run away. No, you endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So part of the way perseverance works is by keeping us there on the straight and narrow, keeping us there in the battle, keeping us there in our faith, even amidst trials and tribulations. And we need that, don't we? We need that anchor. We need that which will keep us in the faith. But perseverance also works actively in our lives in a quality that we would call persistence. Persistence is not only the ability to keep on keeping on. Persistence is the insistence that we keep on keeping on and that we're not going to be stopped. There are different ways the Scriptures use to show us the way persistence must work in our lives. One is by liking the life of a Christian to an athlete running a race. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, of course, we know follows Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the examples of the faithful saints of old. We see their faith, we see their obedience, and we see the confidence that they had in their reward from God. Now, because of their example, and because of God's faithfulness in their lives, verse 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance. Run with persistence. Run with perseverance. That race that is set before us. The fact that the life of a Christian is likened to a runner running a race that requires endurance tells me that the life of a Christian is more like a marathon than it is like a 50-yard dash, isn't it? You know, there are some in the religious world, there are some denominations, the way they teach the plan of salvation, you would think that the Christian life was a 50-yard dash. We sing the invitation song, you get up here as quick as you can, confess Christ, and it's all over with. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. The Christian life is a marathon. It starts when you come up from the waters of baptism, having been born again, and it doesn't end until we go and plant your body in the ground. And you've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to strive, ever strive in our faithfulness to make sure that nothing keeps us from reaching the finish line, just like a runner involved in a marathon. Secondly, in Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, we are admonished to be persistent in doing good. It's not always easy to keep doing good, is it? Sometimes it can become discouraging. Sometimes we reach a point where we wonder, what's the point? Why keep doing this? No one cares. No one says thank you. As a matter of fact, I get it thrown back in my face sometimes. No one else is doing this. Why should I keep doing it? But the reality is, the Scriptures teach that we must continue to do good throughout our lives as Christians. In Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 6, we read that the Lord, in righteous judgment, will render to each one according to his deeds. Now, what's under consideration here is our deeds, the way we've chosen to live our lives. And now look at the contrast between the two. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice eternal life in verse 7 is promised to those. Eternal life is described as glory, honor, and immortality. Those who have a hope in the resurrection. These things are not presently realized in our life today, as we mentioned a few moments ago. But those who are doing good are longing for those things. Those who are doing good in verse 7 are contrasted with those who are self-seeking and who do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness in verse 8. Notice the contrast there. One is obeying the truth. The other is obeying righteousness. One is self-seeking in doing those things which are not right. And the other is doing good. What are they going to bring before the Lord in judgment but the things that they've done in their lives? When we stand before the Lord in judgment, may we be able to show the Lord that we have spent our lives doing that which is good and that we never gave up obeying the truth and doing what is right, even when we were tempted to do so. Does that mean that we somehow earn our salvation? Not at all. We're not talking about earning our salvation. But we're talking about what we're doing with our lives since we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we going to turn around and spend our lives in self-indulgence and sin? Or are we going to, out of appreciation for what the Lord has done to us, determine that we're going to obey the truth? And we're going to do good for the rest of our lives. We'll see in judgment. But there is the promise of one reward or the other. We need to persevere in doing what is good because it's not always easy. And we need perseverance because the Lord expects us to bear fruit. In Luke chapter 8 and at verse 15, the Lord is giving the explanation of the parable of the sower. And in describing or explaining the good soil that received the seed and produced a bountiful harvest, he says, Luke chapter 8, verse 15, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." There's your word, hupomone, right there. We bear fruit, but only if it is coupled with perseverance or endurance. Fruit isn't produced overnight. I've done enough gardening to learn that fact. First, it takes time for the vine or the tree or the plant to mature. I remember one year my parents decided to plant some peach trees. I remember it took several years before they ever did anything. And we spent our time those years waiting for those trees to grow and to mature. Well, when a plant or a vine or a tree does become productive, it still has to go through a season of pollination and growth and ripening before there is a harvest. And the same thing is true with us spiritually. The fruit that God is looking for in your life and mine isn't produced overnight just like that. It's produced as a result of you and I being faithful through a season of growth and harvest. And that takes some endurance. That takes you and I sticking with it. Even when it doesn't look like we're going to get any rain. Even when it looks like things are rough. Even when it looks like the weeds in our lives may begin to be taking over. We don't give up. We stick with it. And we produce life. The fruit that bears eternal life is born with perseverance. How does perseverance work? It allows us to stay in the race until we cross the finish line. It allows us to continue doing good even when we become discouraged for one reason or another and decide that we're going to we're going to do something for ourselves for a change instead of laboring in the kingdom. Perseverance works because it allows us to stick with it, to get to the end, and to see the harvest. Now, after looking at what perseverance is and how it works in our lives, let us consider how it is that we obtain perseverance. We need it. We need it in order to see it through to the end. Notice that Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, that it's something that we've got to add to ourselves, right? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Add to your self-control perseverance. We've got to do it. Where do we get it? Where can I go and get it so that I can add it to my faith so that heaven can be my home one day? Well, there's not a pill that we can take that will give us perseverance overnight. There's not a verse that we can cut out of our Bible and put underneath our pillow and sleep on it at night, and next morning we've got perseverance. Perseverance is one of those qualities that the Lord intends for us to obtain only by using it. The only way that you and I can gain perseverance is by persevering and by enduring and seeing things through to the end. Look in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's hupomone right there. That's perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why should we count it all joy when we fall in the various trials? Because that's the only place we can find this quality. We ought to thank God we have the opportunity to learn and to grow, to obtain it and to apply it to our lives, to come to understand how it works, to appreciate why we truly need it, and to try to cultivate it in our lives. The situations that demand perseverance are also those situations that produce it. Let's go back and let's consider again that runner. That runner in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 who has to run with endurance the race that is set before him. How does a runner get endurance? I have absolutely no business going out and signing up for the next marathon that comes along. Absolutely none. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't even make it up to the starting line. I don't have any endurance. Those individuals that sign up for those marathons and they run those marathons, where did they get their endurance from? It's from running, wasn't it? It's from all the time that they'd spent prior to that running and exercising. There were no shortcuts. That's the only way that they could get that endurance, was by doing what they're going to do in the marathon, by running. The only way you and I can get this perseverance is by persevering, by finding ourselves in situations where we have to persevere. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So while we find, we never find trials and tribulations and persecutions a joy to endure. And while you and I would just as soon not sign up for that if we have a choice, let us not purposely try to avoid those situations. Let us not take the coward's way out and avoid at all cost ever experiencing any kind of tribulation, because there's a benefit that comes from it. It gives us perseverance, which allows us to endure the next test that comes along and the next trial and the next round of persecution. Perseverance comes only by persevering. But I believe that there is something else that you and I can do that will help us with our constancy. That is, help us with our steadfastness of faith. Sticking with the decision that we made when we decided to be baptized into Christ. And that is by keeping our eyes focused on the goal, by looking to the reward. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul says it better than I could ever say it myself, and says it better than I think it's said anywhere else in Scripture. Romans 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, if anyone had to suffer for the cause of Christ, it was the Apostle Paul. He knew what suffering was. He knew what persecution was. And he says, "I am convinced that it doesn't even compare to what we're going to see when we reach heaven. It doesn't even compare to the glory that we're going to receive as soon as we walk within those gates. We're going to forget all the troubles we had to go through in order to get here. They're going to vanish away." Now, I've been here long enough to know that there are some here this morning who are going through trials right now in your life. Or you've suffered through them very recently. And maybe it's a trial that's going on with a loved one. Maybe their health is failing them. And their days are drawing shorter. Maybe spiritually they have abandoned Christ. And you are troubled over their soul. Maybe there are problems going on in your life that are causing friction in your marriage and in your home and between you and your children or you and your parents. Maybe it's a problem at work and you've got a new boss that you just soon not have. Or you've got a new co-worker that is making life miserable for you at work. Or there's someone at school causing you problems. And we can go on and on and on with the possibilities, for they are endless. I want to tell you, and I hope you have the faith to appreciate and accept the truthfulness of this passage of Scripture, it doesn't even begin to compare to the reward that is waiting for you. And for you to take your faithfulness to Christ and to scrap it in order to make things easier here and now, what a tragedy that is. How do we get this perseverance? Let's remember who we are and let's remember where we're going. There isn't anything that's going to stand in our way. I can see beyond that mess. I can see beyond that storm. I can see beyond this present pain. And I can see the glory that's waiting. And I'm going to get there. That's what we need. Finally, I think my brethren need to rediscover what it means to commit and dedicate themselves to the cause of Christ. Back to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and at verse 12, Paul said, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Timothy, don't give up. Don't cash it in. Don't decide that it isn't worth it." He said, verse 14, "But you must continue." You must continue. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how bad people are around about you. You've got to continue. Why do you have to continue? Well, Timothy, you made the good confession before many witnesses, as Christ made the good confession. Timothy, you repented of your sins. And Timothy, you were baptized into Christ. And when you were baptized into Christ, you entered into a covenant relationship with God. Do you understand that, Christian? That when you became a Christian, that when you were baptized into Christ, that was tantamount to you telling the Lord, "I promise I'm going to serve you forever." You made a promise. You made a commitment. Now stick with it. Stick with it and see it through. You must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why is it that I see my brethren abandoning the faith from time to time during trials and hardships? I'm convinced it's because they haven't been going to the Word of God to get the strength that they need to make it through the present trial. God has given us His Word, and we must continue in it. And as we do, we are reminded of truths, and we discover truths that equip us and build us up and make us complete so that we can persevere to the end. There are things that we can do that will help us to persevere, and we need to do it. We need to spend time in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word and learn these promises and apply them to our hearts and to our lives. How do we obtain perseverance? There's no shortcut. We've got to persevere. We've got to jump in and learn how to swim. As we do, we'll gain that perseverance. And from time to time, we'll take our eyes off the goal. But we need to be reminded to fix them back on those things that are above. We do that when we assemble ourselves together and sing about heaven, don't we? Oh yeah, there's heaven. And we focus on heaven once again. We do that when we open up our Bible in our homes as individuals or collectively as a congregation and read and study these passages that admonish us to be faithful. We equip ourselves. How do we obtain perseverance? By persevering. By looking above the mess in this world and seeing the reward that waits for us. And by remembering and honoring our commitment. We're going to see it through to the end. I'm a man of my word. You're a person of your word. You gave your word to the Lord. Now see it through to the end. Hopefully, after a short study like this, and looking at just a few verses that use this word, hupomone, and that admonish us to persevere, hopefully we can see the importance of perseverance. The devil is the tireless enemy of our souls. And there's never a day in which he isn't as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. There isn't a day that he is not on duty. And so we must always be alert. And we must do whatever we can to overcome the temptations and the problems that and the trials that he sends our way. Brethren, heaven is too great for you to quit and for me to give up on. The way is hard, and the days are long, and the work is tiresome and sometimes appears to be without any gratitude or thanksgiving. But the promise is too great to give up. There's a hymn that we sing from time to time. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Don't you believe that? Heaven will be worth it all, but we won't know unless we persevere. Brethren, you and I have need of endurance so that after we have done the will of God, we may receive the promise. We can enter into heaven. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, you need to make that decision. You need to make that commitment to Christ. You need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to repent and turn your life around. And you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. I want you to know the water is ready. And we can baptize you right now. There's nothing keeping you from making this decision but you. Would you not do it today? Would you not be baptized today? Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've become unfaithful. You've stopped persevering. You found way and reason and excuse not to be faithful to the Lord. Repent. Come back unto Him. Get back in the race and run with endurance. And if we need to help you, if you need us to help you in a public way, we'd be glad to do so. Whatever your need is, let it be known by coming and meeting me right up here at the front as together we stand and sing this song.